Good to be here this weekend. We're in a series of the Holy Spirit gifts. And so you can turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then we're going to go into a few other places. Talking about discerning of spirits, we talked a bit about that last Sunday. So when I was a kid, I lived up on the Hope Princeton Highway. I was 14 years old, and I worked in a restaurant up there, a trucker's restaurant. And how many have been through the Hope Princeton Highway? It's a beautiful drive through there, but if you live up there in the winter, it can get to 35, 40 below. And I worked in this restaurant and lived in this little cabin at 14 years old, 15 years old. And I remember that it got so cold, that was a good time to split wood, because if you split wood, it just snaps. It's really easy. And I would, because I never did it when I was supposed to, it was really easy to do it when I needed to. And but one of the neat things was, is it got so cold that the telephone wires would contract so tight that you could pick up the old telephone receiver and listen to the CBC News, because it received that. That's how cold it was, but we thought it was really cool. When we talk about discerning of spirits, we need to be in a place to receive what God wants to tell us. There's a lot of voices coming into our mind. There's a lot of our own thoughts. There's a lot of things that are just not from God, and we need to hear His voice. Then we not only need to hear, but we need to respond to it. So we're going to look at this here. I just want to go through this a little bit here. Just as a reminder, it says in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11. Actually, going to go to 12. But now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We need to see this. We need to hear this. We need to have the testimony of the power of God. We need to know that God is touching people's lives in salvation. We need to know that He's healing people. We need to know that He's delivering people. That He's alive today the same as He was when we're reading about this. Has He changed? I don't believe He's changed anyway, because it says that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we believe that, we'll walk in a realm that we're not even used to, because we'll walk in power. And so we need that for the common good. And it says, to one there is given this through a spirit of the message of wisdom, and to another the message of knowledge and of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another the gifts of healing, and we talked about that for a while, by the one Spirit, and to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing or the discerning between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another interpretation of those tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. So it's not us going and saying, hey, I want this gift because it's pretty cool. I don't want this gift because it's not so cool. It's the one that He feels that you can do the best to glorify His name through. Sometimes you'll actually do gifts that you're not used to doing as well. And then Paul goes on to say this in verse 12. Just as one body, or just as a body through one, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so is it with Christ. There's just one body, and we all fit together. This church here fits into the larger church, the universal church of the world that's gone before us and exists now and will come until Jesus comes back. We all need to know that we have a part in this, that we have a significant part in this. Everyone sitting in this room has a significant part in doing what God has to be done before He comes back. And He likens it to a body. And a body's a good metaphor for the giftings and how they work, because you just think about it. When your arm's sore or your leg's sore, or when everything's functioning right and you're happy, when you're around payday or something like that, when all the things emotionally are kicking in and everything is happening, you are you notice that your body's all in harmony, or it's in disharmony because of some kind of an injury or whatever. It's a great picture. So you probably have been looking at this AED for a while. It's interesting that this AED is used to cardiovert or change the electrical impulses in your heart, because your heart runs on electricity. All the muscles there are electrical. Did you know that? And that's why when you see on TV and they put the paddles on and you, like that, and the person jumps this high, they don't do that. I was a paramedic, and they don't do that. We never got anybody to come that high off the ground. It just doesn't happen. I mean, we use lots of joules, so that's called the power. Use lots of joules, but they just didn't do it like on TV, because TV is not necessarily the truth. But it does exactly what I said, and it does exactly what is needed, because your electrical system now is in fibrillation. It's not working. It's not causing the heart to pump. And so if that's sustained, that fibrillation, that person will die because there'll be no blood shunted through his system or her system. And so what we do is we hook on these paddles, and it cardioverts or defibrillates that system. We also run some drugs to create these electrical impulses. So when you hear them running bicarbs and different epinephrines and all these kind of adrenaline things and stuff like that, it's so that the body will start to build up an electrical current again and sustain that. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that great that evolution created that? Come on. There's got to be a creator for that. And when I studied the body, I thought, that's amazing. It's magnificent. Matter of fact, there's 7 electrical places in your heart, just like a key. I heard that there's a Dodge car now that has, if you put one key in, it's like 350 horsepower. If you put another key in, it's 750 horsepower. So it's got 2 ignitions. You do need 750 horsepower here in Richmond, let me tell you. You could get through the tunnel faster than anybody I know. You got this, but God has created in your heart 7 different ignition points. So if the first one doesn't work, the second one works, and the third, and if it doesn't work at all at the 7th one, then he's created this through someone, gave them the wisdom to be able to use this machine to cardiovert us. I kind of see a parallel with the spiritual discernment. I see that we are spiritual, just like we're electrical. I see that we can hear from God, and we can hear from also other spirits. We can hear from ourselves, and we can hear from every other voice that's coming in. And what we need to do is we need to be healthy enough in our spirituality to hear from God and then move in this area. We need to be able to understand that some of the things that happened in our life before we became Christians, we thought were okay, and now the Spirit is starting to tell us that they're not okay. In other words, we're starting to get some spiritual discernment. You ever had that happen? We had a person in our church here who came from another country, and she became a Christian, and God spoke into her life about the idols that were still in her life. There were literal idols that she had worshipped as a kid. And we gathered together because the Holy Spirit showed her in discernment that these things were holding her back. And we had a time together, we prayed together, and we destroyed those idols. That is what we need to do in our lives. Oh, well, maybe some of you say, well, we never really worshipped idols. We don't have idols on our shelves. Oh, yeah? Do you have a credit card? Is it to the max? That's who you worship. That's the church one. I shouldn't have brought that one out. Do you have a, I'm going to start meddling here. Do you have a boat that takes you away? They say the best 2 days owning the boat is the first day when you buy it and the last day when you sell it, because it's just a hole in the water you throw money into. It can be a motorhome, that can be a F-150 4x4, crew cab, blue. It can be whatever's on your heart. If it runs your life, if you worship it, you are in contrast to what God wants. No, you can still have this stuff, but you have to have discernment whether it has you or not. And this is what Paul's talking about in this whole area. We need to be able to discern. We also need to be able to discern the spiritual warfare that's going on in our world. Some people, and I've experienced this myself, have not been able to sleep because there's demonic influences in our lives. We also make decisions sometimes because we hear this voice that says, this is okay to do. Some children have made decisions because they wanted something so bad that they basically sold themselves out to the enemy, because they heard this voice that says, if you do this, you can have that. Literally been spoken to. Oh, you say, oh, that doesn't happen. It happens. It happens too much in our world today. I'm not talking about Cabbage Patch dolls that have demons in them and go flying across the room, because we went through that as new Christians. It was just, come on. We're not talking about that. We're talking about real spiritual empowerment from the enemy. And if you're not listening to the power of the Holy Spirit, this can throw you off. So you need to know that God has a defibrillator. God has something to cardiovert to get you on the right track, and it's the Holy Spirit. And you need to allow him to charge in your life, to show light in those areas, to draw some power into those areas so that you are not in that, under that power any longer. And sometimes that's pretty scary. But God already knows that. And when we read the Gospels, Jesus went ahead and dealt with all these kind of things. There's a quote that Dave Wells wrote in a magazine called Enrich. So I put it up here because I wanted you to be able to read it as well. It says, it is interesting to note that the seven churches in Revelation did not receive from the Spirit a lot of hard data regarding attendance and finances. And sometimes that's what we focus on. How many people are here today? Oh, my goodness, there's some faces here. What about our budget? God is not, he doesn't want us to be focused on that. He wants us to be focused on the spiritual things in the church. He looks after everything. He supplies all the resources to his vision. Absolutely. And so Dave goes on to say, perhaps it was understood that they already had or were aware of these facts. They are primarily addressed about issues that required spiritual discernment. These seven churches in Revelation, and you're probably familiar with them. Ephesus had a great deal with a spiritual vitality issue, the loss of their first love. Oh, how many people have stepped away from their first love? Your first love's Jesus. And then everything else fits into that. Steps were given to address it, including remembering what your first love involved, repentance. Repentance just doesn't say, I'm really sorry, and then continuing on in the way you're doing it. It means changing your lifestyle and the willingness to, again, to practice first love, not just feel it. You just can't live by feelings. And please don't get me wrong, I'm a counselor, and feelings have a lot to do with your well-being, but you cannot live by feeling. Some mornings you get up and you're married and you don't feel like you're married. You're married. You're married. Some mornings you get up and you don't feel like you want to have a mortgage anymore. You have a mortgage. Just go to the bank or wait long enough. They'll come to you. It doesn't matter how you feel about the truth. What it does is what you do about it. And the spiritual discernment that God's given every one of us is in everyday practical life. Dave goes on to say, several of the churches had to address theological vitality issues. That's important here. False teaching and prophets who are, I love Dave, sucking the life and the truth out of them. I'll tell you, we have so many voices telling us from the internet and from TV and all these kind of things. We have prophets of doom and we have prophets of gloom and we have prophets of end times. We have people who are being telling people this is what they should do and they follow them and their whole life falls apart. Don't listen to them. Please don't listen to them. Listen to the Spirit of God. Ask God if that is the right person to listen to. Even me. I know it's hard to believe. But even me, you should pray about it. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, do not accept it. Do not do it. You hear me? Jesus is our leader, not Jim Caruso. Dave didn't write all that. I just doing a little bit out of it here. They needed to have their discernment reawakened about them, what was true and what was not. That's why we offer the All Nations College Foundation. That's why we're offering courses like hermeneutics and homiletics. And that's why we want you to understand the Word of God through the Holy Spirit. Not just somebody telling you about the Word of God. We want you to do the research. We want you to fall in love with the Word so it becomes part of you. We want you into the best discipleship program that ever was devised, and that's learning Scripture and applying it to your life. The death dispensers had to go. That's what they are. The life suckers, the death dispensers. Of interest is that most of the churches were affirmed for their missional vitality. In other words, their health of their missions, their outreach. So he says, perhaps like many of our own churches, they wrestled with internal spiritual and theological issues, yet the missional impulse remained active to bear witness of who Jesus was. We need to be aware of what the Spirit is saying. That is what spiritual discernment's about. Because there's a lot of spirits out there that are biding for your time. Biding for your finances, biding for your relationships. And if you fall into that trap, you will step away from the Holy Spirit and you will join yourself with unholy spirits. And they will suck the life out of you. Does that make any sense? God wants us to be spiritual people. Some of you are probably sitting there going, well, yeah, but I'm not like you, Pastor. I'm not spiritual. Yes, you are. Matter of fact, there's not a person in this room that is any less spiritual than I am. And then you're wondering, well, why are you the leader then? I can kind of think maybe how you're thinking. Because it's my gift to be the pastor. Because I love you, and I want to serve you, and I want to care for you, and I want to tell you this. But I want you to grow in him, not in me. I want you to follow Jim Caruso. I want you to say, you know what, I went to the service one time and this guy preached, I don't know who it was, but it was the most awesome thing I ever experienced in my life. I remember one of those services where my life was changed. I don't even know who the preacher was. Except it was the Holy Spirit with the message. We need to grow and discern those things in the Spirit because we're in a spiritual battle. Because it says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3-8, and we put up the scriptures here because we have people who are learning English and we're having people that just kind of want to follow along that way. We also have translation. Well, actually, our translators now know that they're not translators. They're interpreters for me because they just got to go on the fly, right? Some of you know this. I changed them from translators to interpreters because they got to kind of follow. I give them notes, but I don't necessarily follow them myself. So anyway, Scripture's good, and 2 Corinthians 10, 3-8 says this, for though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. They're not howitzers. They're not chemical warfare. They're not any of those things. They are spiritual things. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretense that has set itself against the knowledge of God. Listen to what is being said. Listen to what is being felt in the environment. And then let the Holy Spirit speak to you, because you're listening, you're tuned in to what he wants to talk to you about. And sometimes he'll tell you to do something, and sometimes he'll tell you to say something, and other times he'll tell you not to do anything. Sometimes he'll tell, get out of there. Run away. It goes on to say, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience. Once your obedience is complete, you are judging by appearances. We have to take every thought captive. How are you at that? Going well? You have an anger problem? Your thoughts leak out real fast. And they're not good thoughts. You need to let the Holy Spirit work in these areas. You need the Holy Spirit to say, I want to bring that peace and healing into your life. I want you to be free. You know, we have big issues with addiction, and that's why we're doing Celebrate Recovery. We think it's really an important thing. People need to deal with their addictions. The first thing about dealing with your addictions is admitting you have them. You got to admit. Like, I just saw a guy's T-shirt, and this is denial, but it says, we're a little drinking village with a fishing problem. No, you're not. You are a little fishing village with a drinking problem. Please listen to me. If you have something that takes your money and takes your time and you worship that, you can just look at your Visa bill and tell me, or tell yourself, where's that going? Is it in eating? Is it in pornography? Is it in alcohol? Is it in drugs? Is it in something else that just takes your time? Is it in something that is it even acceptable socially? But if it takes your time and you're worshiping it, the Holy Spirit wants you to discern that that's not him. And he wants you to be free. It says here, if anyone is confident that they belong to Christ, they should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as they do. Every one of us are equal. I want you to hopefully grasp that truth. Every one of you are equal in Christ. He doesn't have any favorites. I know John said he was the one that, he was the disciple that Jesus loved. Jesus is I'm his favorite, but he loves me best or something. I don't know what it goes, but I'll tell you something right now. He doesn't have any favorites. Isn't that awesome? That you are all equal in his, and so he wants to speak with you equally. He doesn't have to just speak to me because I'm the pastor of this church and I get paid and I just spend time listening to him. It's not about that. It's about every day getting up in the morning and saying, okay, God, what do you have to say? What are we going to do today? Guide me. Direct me. In other words, give me discernment. So even if I boast somewhat freely, Paul says, about the authority that the Lord gave us for building you up, but rather than tearing you down, I will not be ashamed of it. God has given us authority, each one of us. And that authority needs to come to build you up. Never, ever enter into a weekend retreat where they say, we're going to tear you down to nothing, and then we're going to build you up. Don't go there. You are allowing somebody who is not guided by the Holy Spirit to destroy your life, shame you and yell at you and destroy you so you're just kind of groveling on the floor, and then they're going to speak words of life into you? Where do we find that in Scripture? The Holy Spirit has never done that. He will never do that in your life. He's gentle. He will guide you. He'll make things, you know, there'll be difficult things for you to choose, but one thing you need to understand is he will not do that. He will never tear you down. He will never tear you down and shame you and abuse you to build you up. Instead, his discernment will say, don't do this anymore, Jim. When I quit drinking, I drank lots of whiskey and I drank lots of beer and I became a Christian and I was, you know, like I had control of it because I had it down to like a couple of bottles of beer a day. That's pretty good for a guy that drank a lot. One day when I was sitting there, the Holy Spirit said to me, Jim, you don't need this anymore, you got me. There's the difference between, Jim, you keep that up, you're not going to be in heaven. You can't get through the pearly gates with liquor on your breath. That's it. Peter standing there as a breathalyzer. And if you come swaggering into heaven, you're out, boy. Not like that. He is the Holy Spirit. And you know what he did? He didn't make me quit drinking. He took away the desire. You need to have him take away the desire for whatever sin has got you, whatever voice is telling you, whatever you feel like in your life. You might feel like you're in the bottom of the bowl, that you have no self-esteem. You do not have that as a truth in your life when you have Christ. You are more than a conqueror. You're more than a victor. You are. That's what we need to discern. Not that you were raised in a crummy family, that you didn't get good marks, and everybody else said you're not going to amount to nothing. That's what you need to say, I don't receive that because the Holy Spirit said that I'm more than a conqueror. Are you? Really? You should be happy about that. He'll blow your socks off and show you what you can do. I just had it happen a few times. People said, you wrote a book? You have a doctorate? Like, yeah, I think that's the highest compliment because it shows me that God did that through me. You can achieve things that you never thought you could do when the Holy Spirit guides you. And you know what? It's for his glory. It's for his glory. And so that's where we need to hear from the Holy Spirit. So we have this authority. You have the authority. And we should not be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Should not be ashamed to be God's kid. Should not be ashamed to hear that voice that says, don't do this. He's not shaming you when he says it. He just says, Jim, you don't need to do this anymore. You got me. That's pretty simple, don't you think? So let's look at Ephesians here as we wrap this up. Just to remind you that we're in a spiritual battle. And sometimes you wonder, like, why do I feel so rotten today? Why is this stuff going into my mind? Why am I so depressed? Why am I struggling? Why do I gotta, you know, head down and get something to self-medicate with? I was, like, I had pretty serious pain even after I got prayer for my arm. And it was like I was on these pretty powerful painkillers. And I thought, man, if I just took one of them, that would be gone in a minute. I just need to be reminded that God is healing me. And now, well, I'm not able to throw a baseball or anything like that, but I never was, so I'm not really feeling too bad about that. I told my mom, just to give you a little update, my mom is, I'm going to take her to Salmon Arm to the seniors' home. We got that all arranged, and so I was telling her, I said, Mom, it's awesome. You're going to have lots of activities. I says, I signed you up for the rugby team. 93 years old. It's a long game. I don't think so, she said. Anyways, Ephesians 6, 10 and 11 says, or 8 to 18, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Let me tell you something. Don't get up and get dressed every morning. Don't get up and get dressed in your armor every morning. Get it on once and leave it there. All right? If you read much about war, happens at night. The most vulnerable time, 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, are the best times to attack. So if you got your armor sitting by the bedpost with your teeth, not good. Not good. All right? Don't ever take it off. It'll fall off when you go to heaven. You won't need it up there. But keep it on because the enemy is ruthless. For our struggles are not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world in which we live and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There is a battle going on, and it's for you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to mess up your spirit, which he can't do as easily as mess up your mind and mess up your body. But God is in control, if you give it to him, of your spirit, your soul, and your body. So just give it over to him. So therefore, put on the full armor of God so that in the day that evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, it says stand. It's the last one standing. If you've ever been in a fist fight or you've ever been in a situation, you want to be the last one standing. Remember, we went to an altercation where there's 4 or 5 policemen in this room, and I was a paramedic, and there was already some wounds, stabs, and stuff like this. And we get into the room, and I don't know, one of the police let one of the guys go from the other room who was in altercation with a guy that was in our room, and all of a sudden, there's 10 people. It's like one of those cartoons, you know, where all the dust is and just arms and legs out, and I'm in the middle. And I'm thinking, I hear click, click, handcuffs going on. And I couldn't see who was, I couldn't feel whether it was my, I was just hoping that I never got handcuffed to the guy that's beating the other guy. That's what I was worried about. And then the dust settled and I looked and they had handcuffed the right guys. Hallelujah. But there was guys beaten right there. You need to know that you're going to do everything, and when you're done, you want to be standing. And you can stand with Jesus because he's more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. He said on the cross, it is finished. Let me tell you something. Everything in darkness is finished. It is finished in Jesus. We just need to walk in that. I hope this is just like this AED, just like this for you. Come on, let's go. Let's have that pathway electricity open up so I can breathe better and I can move better and I can have more power. So he says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled about your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in its place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can now extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. That doesn't mean that you're not going to get the arrows. See, that's kind of what I thought. We're the enemies, we got this protective shield, and then they'll just bounce off. No, you'll get stuck with, but you'll be able to extinguish them, they won't kill you. But you cannot go into a battlefield and not expect to get wounded. You're not going to get killed, you're not going to get captured, but you are going to get wounded because it's a real battlefield in the spiritual realm. So take a few licks. It doesn't hurt that much. It heals. You can come on Sunday and we'll pray for you. But stand. Stand against the darkness and stand against the enemy. He's a bully. Stand against him and take him down in the name of Jesus. Take him down in the name of Jesus. And you can do that through the discerning of spirits. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. You need to be people of prayer. Not just here on Sunday morning, We have a new prayer room just right off of here. We invite every one of you to come to that prayer room before the service. Everyone's welcome to come and pray. However you pray, you can walk around, you can shout, you can sit there in the corner, you can not say anything, you can do whatever you want. We just want to offer you a place where we're going to join every Sunday morning. And there are other prayer meetings that are going on through our church at all different times. We want you to be people who corporately pray, but we want you to be people who pray on your own. We want you to be people that are engaged with the Holy Spirit so when He speaks to you, you can discern His Spirit and discern His voice. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of God's people. So, after we give somebody the paddles and we defibrillate them, we just don't leave them because they're in a weakened condition. They need to have maybe some drugs run in their system. They need to have maybe some rehab done. Maybe they have to have some further surgery because there's some blockages. The Holy Spirit of God will show you what you need. Because, you see, in His Spirit, He wants to connect with you in your spirit. He wants you to understand Him. He wants you to be able to speak His language. So I'm going to have the worship team come back, if they would. We've had communion. We've had a time of worship. We had a time of challenge from the Word of God. I don't know where you are this morning. But I would really encourage you that you would let God do exactly what He wants to do in your life this morning before you leave here. Because He's alive and He's right here. So what is He speaking to you right now? What is the enemy speaking? Maybe the enemy speaking saying, get out of here, that guy's wacko. Get out of here, you don't want that. You don't want to tie your life up with the church. No, you never do, okay? You want to tie your life up with any church or any denomination. You want to tie your life up with Jesus. And if you said that prayer this morning, then that's exactly what you did. You knit yourself together with Him. And your life's going to be so different. I want you to stand, if you would. I want the prayer team to come up to the front. And maybe, just maybe, God has been speaking to you this morning about the struggle that's been going on in your life. Maybe you don't hear from God because you just feel that He doesn't want to speak to you, that He wouldn't speak to you because you're just an ordinary person. You know what? You are not an ordinary person. Actually, it says in Scripture, you're a peculiar person, and you're one of His living stones built up into His house. He loves you, and He wants to minister to you this morning. So, I don't know what it is. Maybe you're struggling with the voices that have told you certain things and you're in bondage. Maybe you've made a vow and you need to break that vow because it's holding you in bondage. Maybe you have some physical need and you feel because of something that you did, you don't deserve healing. Those are lies from the pit of hell. Christ died on the cross for your healing, for your salvation, no matter what. I want you to come this morning and receive. I want you to come to the foot of the cross. Or this is symbolic again. It's a metaphor. Our altar is not the foot of the cross, but Jesus is here, and these people want to reach out. So I want the team to worship. Just stay with us for a few minutes, and we are going to see God do some work in people's lives. Would you please just start to come right now?